When page one was done with the Teichacha, by the way. Okay, we're on 1082, the bottom line. Last time we were learning all about anger. We discussed why it's bad, why it's idol worshipping, why it's not good. Okay, so now the Pasuk says, V'hoyu chayacha, your life will hang in the balance. Okay, what do you mean hang in the balance? They're not sure if they're safe, if they're not safe. They don't know what it is. In fact, interesting, there's a number of interpretations. Okay, let us see the pasuk first. Your life will hang in balance. You'll be frightened night and day. You will not be sure of your livelihood. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Okay, so Mefarshim explain number one like this. Some people say it means that if you buy wheat for the year, you're going to, get this straight. Huh? Oh God. Okay. The Chachamim say, when you buy wheat for the year, you're going to be afraid day and night, because when you buy wheat and you turn it into flour, you don't know if the flour is going to last for the year. You buy it by the year, right? So you don't know. If you're always afraid, am I going to have enough food for the year? Is the wheat going to be enough flour? Is it not going to be enough flour? So it's going to make you crazy. Or like it says, when you buy it from a baker, you're always going to be afraid of hunger. And even the quote, the Gemara says, a person that has what to eat, and he says, what am I going to eat tomorrow? The guy now has food, and he says, oi, what am I going to eat tomorrow? He's lacking belief in Hashem.
Fooling himself.
He's lacking. Well, no comments in the peanut gallery. So he's not going to have trust. I mean, it's going to be so bad, even though you have food now. So he says two things in the pasuk. What do you mean your life is going to be hanging? You're going to buy wheat for the year, you won't know if it's going to be enough for the year. Even if you buy daily from the baker, you don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Is it going to be enough food? Is it going to have enough food? Maybe you won't have any more bread. Anyway, you're going to be going crazy from the whole story from the mon. Like the Gemara says, what was the inyan of the mon? The mon showed the emunah, the faith that the Jewish people had. Because the mon, they had to eat that day. Whatever they left over for the next day got spoiled, like the pasuk says, right? So if that's the case, they had to believe honestly that the next day they're going to get mon. Therefore, one of the miracles, it says, in the mon was that the Jews believed honestly and seriously that the next day they're going to have what to eat. But when it comes to these curses, when you're not getting the mon from heaven, you're relying on people, you don't know if there's going to be food, there's not going to be food. Yeah, it does. Well, the root is the same. And then so some people say, I think if somebody's in a prison, that he doesn't know what's going to be, if he's going to be killed, not be killed, because over there you don't know what's going to be. You're always all mixed up. Okay, so he says like this, and the Zohar it says, what does it mean? They call it like this. One of the haftarahs of the year, we say, Va'ami saluyim l'mishivasi. My nation, Tuluyim, is dependent, L'mishuvasi, to by doing tshuva. In fact, the Mefarshim, the Baal Turim says, the only twice in Tanakh, where it says the word Tuluyim, hanging, like dependent, is here, and by the Pasik, Va'ami, Tuluyim, L'mishuvasi. What does it mean? If a person does tshuva, he has to remember the day of meat. So what brings a person to do tshuva? Like it says, why do we wear white on Yom Kippur? To remind us of the day of death, when they put us in the shrouds, in the white tachrichim, and reminds of the day of Misa. So the day of Misa is actually what causes a person to do tshuva. And that's what it said, V'ayu chaliyacha tuluyim loch mineged apachter laila v'yayim, meaning, you're going to be so hanging, the life of the person is going to be hanging between life and death, and what is the ultimate purpose, is l'mshuvasi, that they should do tshuva. Okay, what does this mean? It says like this. You know, the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah, the good people are written into the Tzadikim Gemurim are written into the Book of Life in Rosh Hashanah. Rishayim, the total Rishayim, are right away put for killed, to die. And the in-between people, Aser Simei Tshuva, are hanging in the balance. They'll do Tshuva, they'll be written in the Book of Life. They won't do Tshuva, they won't be written in the Book of Life. So that's what it says, Ami Tuluyim L'cha Mineged, your life is hanging. What does it mean, hanging? If you're not a tzaddik or a rasha, you're like most people in between, so you're always thinking, what type of life, how am I going to be sealed? Am I going to have it good? Or am I not going to have it good? And that's why the pasuk says tuluyim is actually that tuluyim, or to take it in a deeper way also, it means, like the Rambam says, when a person, famous Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, which is quoted many, many times in many, many different places, that a person should always look at the world as an equally balanced scale. Where does the Rambam get that from? The Rambam gets it as an interpretation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, "Lama nivra adam yichidi." Why did God create man alone? He didn't create one animal. He created hundreds and thousands of animals. He didn't create one tree. He created many trees, right? What on earth did God create only one? Adam, and then he made Chava. So the Mishnah says, Lama nivra adam yichidi. Why didn't God make 100 people at the same time? Why did he make only one? So the Mishnah says, Shechayev kol echad ve'echad loymar b'shvili nivra ha'ilam. The world was created for me. Now obviously some people take it literally. The world is created for me. Whatever I want, that's the world. So the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva says that's not what the Mishnah means. The Rambam says, that's a dangerous concept. The Rambam says very simple. What do you mean the world is created for me? The Rambam interprets it to mean, I will affect the entire world. That's mean, Bishvili Nivra Ha'ilam, the whole world is mine, it's in my hand, I can change the world for good or for bad. And the Rambam explains it like this, that the Le'olam Yira Adam Atzmei Shokol V'chol Ha'ilam Kula Shokol. A person should look that the world is equally balanced scale. Yeah? And the Rambam says, one machshava, one dibur, one ma'asa of good, machriya es atzmei, v'chol ha'olam kulei lekaf schus, umevi yeshua v'atzala. The Rambam says like this, when I'm about to do something, anything we do, whether it's in thought, speech, or action, you're supposed to picture the whole world is now equal. Good and bad is equal. My good deed will make the whole world good, or my, God forbid, my bad deed will make the whole world bad. And that's what it means, Bishvili Nivra Ha'ilam, the world was created for me. What do you mean? My action is going to affect the entire world. Yeah, that's what the, 1 minute. So that's what it means also, V'hayu chayecha tuluyim l'cha mineged, when a person is alive, they need, and this is a positive way, not as a curse. The positive way of it is, you should know that your whole life is hanging. Your one deed is going to make the whole world good or bad. It's up to you. Your whole life is hanging, and you'll be frightened night and day. And v'leitamin b'chayacha, simply Rashi says it means you're not going to be certain with your livelihood. You're not going to know if you're going to have what to eat the next day.
That happens anyway. I mean, that whole thing with the balance, that happens anyway. That's not a curse. I mean, that's
just I'm saying it. We're defining the pasuk not as a curse. That's what I'm saying. Okay. To define the pasuk not as the simple meaning is a curse. Right. You're not going to know where your next piece of bread comes from.
Excuse
what that makes, 1 second, that makes what people crazy, that when you don't know where the next is. The Gemara says, though, like we said, a person that has food and worries about tomorrow is Miktani Amuna, is a small believer. Why? If God gave you, if God provided you with food today, why isn't he going to be able to provide you for tomorrow? If God can provide food for 5 people, the same God can provide food for 10 people. Right? So if people think, oh, what am I going to eat? The same God that takes care of all the animals, we say in davening, Nason Levei Malachma, God gets the food for all the animals, they have what to eat, and the birds, everybody has what to eat. So Gemara says, Miktani Amuni. Here we're talking about the curse is that the mentality of the person will be dreading that they won't know where it is. Meaning they won't have the Amuna, which makes the person crazy. And like we said before, by the man, the greatness of the man was that they believed the next day they're going to have food, even though it didn't happen yet. But then you find, the Gemara says, forgot which Amir of the Gemara it was, that one Amir of the Gemara, when he had bread at the table, and he was about to eat, he asked Hashem for brach to have food now. So the Gemara discusses, the guy has food on his table, what's he davening for? Davening for tomorrow, but you're davening for now for bread, the bread's right in front of you. So the Gemara explains that influence himself to the extent that he understands that even the food that I have now, I need to ask Hashem for, and it's coming from Hashem. In other words, what we don't have, we ask Hashem for. That we're aware of. But sometimes we have things, and we become unaware that this is really from Hashem. And that's what the Pasuk is speaking about. Okay, then it says like this. Babaykit 1084. Babaykit Teimar, in the morning you're going to say, Mi'itin Erev. Well, when will it be the evening? Uba'erev Teimar, Mi'itin Bakr. Babaykit. And in the evening you're going to say, Ay, when will the morning come? Meaning like this. Rashi learns, there's different ways of learning this. Rashi learns that the day is worse, it keeps getting progressively worse. So the day starts at night. The night is bad, the day gets worse. So when the worst day comes, we say, oh my God, why couldn't it be the night, the past night? Then we get to the next night and we say, oh, it's even worse than the day, why couldn't we have the day again? That's what it says, Babai Kotema in the past. That's what Rashi says. Or Rashi, the Mefarshim saying they learn, it's probably the Barman, who is this? No. Some Mefarshim learn an interesting thing. This refers to the Spanish Inquisition. Because by day, they lived like Goyim. By the Muranos. By day, they lived like Goyim. And at night, they lived like Jews. So, it says that the problem was, in the morning, they were waiting for the next night to be able to serve Hashem. At night, they were worried, maybe they're going to get caught and be killed. So like, you know, they were never happy. You know, something that's very common by people today. I'll give you a simple example. Anybody that teaches kids or has kids, know that for 10 months of the year, they're thinking what they're going to do for 2 months in the summer. You ever know? 10 months. 10 months they're planning for 2 months. Yeah? So, in other words, people are always in the next stage. You go on vacation, you think, oh, I'm going back to the city soon. You can't even enjoy the vacation because you're already thinking about work when you get back. It's really a curse that when people don't live with the now, you know, you're doing something, be in it, what's called time management, success in time, atlocha bizman, that we learned about. You're doing something now, be in it now. Don't say, oh, when's the night going to come? And when's the day going to come? And when's the next period of time going to come? Right? You can't live like that. You have to live during the day, you make the best of the day. Comes night, you make the best of the night. You don't say, oh, when's it going to be the next one?
Well, this is what modern society tells you. Save money for the future, and this is the whole funny thing.
That's why it's a curse.
Yeah, it's a curse.
Right, like everything else.
I just recently read that there was a rabbi who gave all his money away every night, making sure that he didn't have a penny.
The Baal Shem Tov.
Yeah, the Baal Shem Tov.
Okay. So that's what they say about the Spanish Inquisition, this curse refers to that time. Then during the day when they acted like Goyim, they said, hey, when's it going to be the night we can live like Jews? At night they were afraid when's going to be the morning because we're afraid we're going to get caught and be killed. So this is part of the thing. But generally speaking, it has to be, people should be living not with the next period of time. Because then now you're not living. Just think about it. what they teach in time management, Torah taught over 1,000 years ago, the concept of success in time, what's time management? We always know when we're doing something, our mind is not 100% in it. We're thinking about other things, we're thinking about later, we're thinking about earlier, we're thinking about, this is everything that's the mind of the person. So, of course you can't be functioning at 100% if you're focusing only 10%, because 90% you're all over the place. So what's atzlach in zman? What the Torah says, success in time? When you do something, you don't think about anything but what you're into now.
And he's so far.
No.
Especially when you're davening. No.
No, davening is when you go on a trip around the world.
Yeah.
I told you the story. A guy was in shul. His friend finished Shmoneh Esrei. Namidas. He went over to him and gave him Shalom Aleichem. He said, Shalom Aleichem, I never went on him here. He said, no, I watched the way you're davening. In this time of davening, you were in this city, and then you were in that city, and then finally you finished davening, you came back home. So he said, Shalom Aleichem, from all the journeys of your trips around the world, this business deal, that business deal, this. See, he gave, huh? You have to say Tfil Sederach. That's what Shmoneh Esrei is. Tfil Sederach. Shmoneh Esrei is Tfil Sederach. Think about it. Shmoneh Esrei is Tfil Sederach. You're traveling all over the world. No, but this is, you know, when people, you know what, I said this many times in show. I once saw this somewhere. The whole life is preparing to die. Just think about it like this. When kids are little, yeah, just the focus in life. The parents are preparing them for school. Yeah. Preschool is a preparation for elementary, for high school, for college. What's college a preparation for? To get a job. What's the purpose of getting a job?
To
put away money for retirement. Like you said. What's the purpose? Retirement is a preparation for death. So the whole life, we're preparing to die. Because nobody is focusing on the now. Utilize the time. And that's why, by the way, I mentioned this recently also, that, you know, Hashem could have created us any way He wanted. Why did Hashem create us in stages? You're a toddler, a nursing baby, and then you're a toddler, and then you're an infant, and then you become a preschooler, and then you're the Eibishter could have made us all like He made Adam HaRishon. Hashem didn't make Adam HaRishon a baby. When God created Adam HaRishon, the Gemara says He was like a 20-year-old man, meaning He was a full-grown man. That's why Hashem created Adam HaRishon, yeah? Hashem could have made that each one of us should be born a full-grown person. Hashem didn't make us like that. Hashem makes us born in stages, and you have to go from stage one to stage two. So in each stage, we need to live in that stage. You know, there's a certain process. If you want to take a kid and already make him an adult, that he doesn't enjoy his kid's years is no good. Psychologically, it's not good. There's a stage a kid has to live in the baby years and the infant years, you know, because that is the stages of growth. So a person, and this is what the Torah says is the curse, we're always thinking about the future. So you're not living the now, because you're only thinking about the future. The future comes, you think about that next future. So the Torah says that's a curse. A person has to live with now. Now is Baikir, live with Baikir. You come to Erev, live with Erev. Don't think when's the next thing going to come. It's a curse.
I never thought I'd ask this, but was Adam HaRishon circumcised?
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. You know why he lived long?
Well,
didn't have a mother-in-law. Okay. Not true? Huh? Hello? Yeah. Not true?
And Chava didn't have a mother-in-law either, right?
Chava didn't have a father-in-law.
Father-in-law.
Yeah. Okay. Chava's father and the mother-in-law was the snake. She told him what to do. She told him what to do. Okay. What are you going to say? Mipachad levavcha shetivchad, out of the fear of your heart, umimarei einecha shetirin, from the sight of what your eyes are going to see. Okay, so now the Torah is like wrapping up. This is the next pasuk, is the last pasuk of the hidden brachas of the curses. But there's a very important lesson in this pasuk. V'shiv Hashem Mitzrayim Baniyis. Hashem is going to return you to Egypt in boats. Asher Martilcha, that normally I told you, Leiseisif Eid L'Reisi, you'll never see. What did Hashem tell to the Jews? Kasher Reises Mitzrayim Ayim, Leiseisifun L'Reisin Eid Adelam. Right before Az Yashir. Then the pasuk says, Hashem Yilachim Lachem Atachim Tachrishim. When the Jews were crying to Hashem. So what did Hashem say in the pasuk? We're going to be reading it in 2 weeks. What does the pasuk say right before Az Yashir? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jews. Here. Ki asher ri'isem etz Mitzrayim hayom, leisisifu l'reisem eid adelam. God said, you're never going to see Egypt again. Egypt again. Here the curse is that even though Hashem said to you, you're not going to see Egypt again, but I'm still going to bring you back. Asher amarti l'cha, that I told you before in Chumash. Leisisif eid l'reisem, I'm still going to make you go back to Mitzrayim. From here, the Gemara, it's an interesting halacha they learn out from this. And this is the whole discussion how the Rambam lived in Egypt, because the Torah says he can't live in Egypt. In fact, when the Rambam brings on the halacha that a Jew is not allowed to live in Egypt, they ask the question on the Rambam. In fact, the Rambam writes, though, that a Jew who lives in Egypt, even though it's a negative commandment, you don't get malchus, you don't get lashes.
Why?
Why? Huh? No, Besdin doesn't. Why? Because it's what's called lav she'ein by ma'isa. It's a negative commandment that there's no action to it. You can't. The din is when you transgress a negative commandment, it can only be on a negative commandment that you do something active. If you transgress passively a negative commandment, you can't get whipped. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. Bal yiroh and bal yimotzi. Lo yiroh lo cho chametz, lo yimotzi lo cho chametz. Can't see chametz, he can't own chametz. So what happens if a guy doesn't buy chametz? He has chametz in his house. Yeah, and he never got rid of it. So now he owns chametz on Pesach. Correct? So the Gemara says you don't get whipped for it. Taisa says you don't get whipped for it. Why?
Oh, so is that a lav she'emo ma'aser?
Did you do an action now? If somebody goes and buys chametz on Pesach, if you go buy chametz on Pesach, then you did an action, right? Then you're going to get whipped. Even the Slav and Nitzik, let's say. But for that aspect, you're going to get whipped. But if a guy doesn't buy chametz, he didn't actively transgress a negative commandment, right? So the Rambam says, if a guy lives in Egypt, he's not doing anything. So they ask on the Rambam, it's not true, because there's a din. If a kohen is in a cemetery, or a kohen, let's say, God forbid, you know, a kohen can be under the same roof as a dead body either, right? So what happens if a kohen is in a room, yeah, and all of a sudden somebody dies?
Has to run out.
So halachically, he has to run out, right? Because he can become Tommy. So the din is, if they tell the kohen get out, and he doesn't, he gets whipped. It's no action to it. So they ask, how does Rambam say, you can't get whipped for being in Mitzrayim? Why is it different than that? But there's a lot of different things with this, with the Rambam, with him living in Mitzrayim, why he was allowed to live in Mitzrayim. They write that he was forced to by the Sultan, and he had no choice. And but here it says like this. Even so, the pasuk saying that even though Hashem promised you, you're not going to see Egypt again, but because you misbehaved, I'm going to send you back to Egypt.
There are so many Jews throughout the years.
One second, there are Jews today living in Egypt.
Yeah,
not too many. So they say like this. Why are you not allowed to live in Egypt? So first of all, by some people, some poskim write, it says, baderech hazeh. L'yoshiv baderech hazeh Mitzrayim. When the Torah speaks about not moving, living in Egypt, the Torah is baderech hazeh. Which according to many Rishayna means, if you go back to Egypt the way, the same route the Jews left Egypt, that's what the Torah is talking about. That's what some Rishayna answer.
It's also a different society. It's not the Egypt where of people, you know.
Yeah, but see, the Torah is not speaking of the nation of Egypt. The Torah is speaking with the land of Egypt. Eretz Mitzrayim.
But that almost refers to the society.
No, that's not so simple. I know what you're saying, and there are some people that want to say that. But the bottom line is that the Mefarshim explain, the Torah doesn't say go back to the nation of Mitzrayim. The Torah says you can't go back to the land of Egypt. Eretz. Eretz. 1 second. You know, the Gemara tells a story, Neiman, Ger Mitzri Hoya. He was an Egyptian convert. And the Torah says, an Egyptian convert cannot marry into the Jewish, if he's a halacha convert, he cannot marry into the Jewish children until Dor Shlishi Yovilam Bekal Hashem. Okay? So the Gemara says, somebody said to Beniman Ish Ger Mitzri, okay, if you marry another convert from Egypt, which he would be allowed to marry, the kid would be second generation, he would marry a convert from Egypt, second generation, and the third generation would be able to marry into the Jews. Okay? So, Amalei Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva said to him, to the other rabbi, you're making a big mistake. Because, Kfar Bos and Cherev, Ubilbel es kol ha'ilam kuli. Okay? Sancherev, the king of Assyria, not Syria, Assyria. Sancherev was a, in the time of Chizkiah Melech, he was Moshe Bekipo, a very powerful king. And how did he strengthen his power? He moved all the nations around to different countries. He took people from this country, moved them to that country. Because when you're on foreign land, you don't have the control of when you live in your own land. So Rabbi Kiva said, Sancherev came and mixed up the whole world. So nobody's from Mitzrayim today. Nobody's from Amalek today. Nobody's from all the countries that the Torah says you can't marry after they convert. Doesn't apply today. So he said, that's why today, if somebody in Egypt converts, I'm talking Kalocha, they can marry a Jew. Because there's no more din of a mitzvah because Sancherev came. But the reason why, in Chassidus, in Kabbalah, it says, what's the reason why a Jew cannot live in Egypt? Torah says you can't live in Egypt. Why? Whether you get whipped, not, but you can't live in Egypt. So the reason is very simple. We learned many, many times. The purpose of a Jew in the place they are is to elevate sparks of Kedusha that are there. By doing mitzvahs, you elevate. Remember, like we said, Hashem did a kindness to the Jews. He spread them out all around the world. Then the sparks of Kedusha all around the world that Jews can elevate. But if they're in one country, they can't elevate the sparks of another country, right? So the purpose of Jews living in a place is to elevate the sparks of Kedusha that are there. But when the Jews left Egypt, it said, Vayenatzlu es Mitzrayim, they emptied out Egypt. There was no more sparks of Kedusha left. They took everything out of Egypt. So therefore the Torah says, you can't go back to Egypt. Because what for? The purpose of a Jew being anywhere is to elevate that part of the world to Kedusha. But if that part's elevated already, all the sparks are out, what's the purpose of going there?
There's nothing in Egypt to elevate.
Right. So that's why they write that for business, so sparks come into Egypt from different places. Right? Goods come into Egypt. And therefore, when you go for business, then you would be allowed to do it because then there's different sparks versus the remember we learned that there was Eilam Atehu and Eilam Atikun and the sparks, there was Shvira Sakelim, the Kelim, the vessels of the world of Tehu broke, and 288 sparks came down. The Jews went out of Egypt, they took eight of Rav, they took Reish Beis, Taruvist of sparks, and therefore there's 86 left. So therefore there was nothing for a Jew to go back. So here, the Mefarshim bring down, here, so to speak, the source that in a certain extent the Jews sometimes would be able to go back to Mitzrayim. Because the Torah says, as individuals, I'm going to be taking you back to Mitzrayim. Okay, so he says that Yechidim, some people learn, this is what the Mamleus brings down, there's certainly Rishonim that learn, the sin of living in Egypt is a national. The nation cannot live in Egypt. Individuals are allowed to live in Egypt. Because if it would be forbidden as individuals to live in Egypt, how could Hashem say, I'm going to take you back to Egypt? It's not a curse, it's a sin. So Hashem is making a sin. So therefore, that's what he said, the Yechidim could, or it's a different road. And that's why he says, the Pasuk says, their Shivcha is singular. Why is it singular? Because a Yachid, a singular individual, could go back to Egypt. He's not speaking plural.
A lot of these curses are, this curse is one that never happened, or never probably will happen.
Well, there are Jews that ended up back in Egypt.
Yeah, but as a nation, Hashem would never take us back to Egypt.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But the curse was in the, but we're soon going to see a different interpretation of this. Okay, let's say the Pasuk. V'shivcha Hashem etzayim ba'niyes, Hashem is going to take you back to Egypt in boats. Asher amartu l'cha, that I told you, okay, now, then the Pasuk says like this. V'smakartem sham, and again, v'smakartem, Rashi says in Lashon Kodesh, is not, they will sell you. It means, you will sell yourself, offer yourselves for sale, le'ivecho, to your enemies, la'avodim v'lishvachis, you will, in other words, you'll be so broke, you're going to be taken back to Egypt, you're going to want to sell yourselves as slaves just to be supported by somebody, to be fed by somebody. But the Torah says, there ain't Canaan, nobody's buying it. Nobody's going to buy you. Meaning, the Jewish slave will be long in Egypt. Nobody's going to come back. So what's going to happen to them? They're going to die. And the Mepharshim explained that Amman says that happened after the Roman conquest. Okay? Mean that there's no hope. In a deeper sense, in Kedusha, there's Zeh and Sham. There's Mokam Azeh, and there's, like it says, there's Makartim Sham. Right? Or Ubikashtim Misham Esh Shem Alekecha. Zeh means here. Oh, is that? That means you point to it. And Sham means out. So it says, in Parshim explained, especially in Kabbalah and Chassidus explained, Zeh represents Kedusha. Zeh Keli Van Vehu. V'amar Bayemahu Ine Lakenu Zeh. Right? Zeh refers to Zeh Keli Van Vehu. It's visible. Sham represents the place of Klipa, of evil, there. Godliness is not there. It's away from God and so on. And what does the Pasuk say, by the way? Ubikashtem misham es Hashem alakecha matzasa. You should seek out God misham, meaning from a place where God isn't open, revealed. And you seek out God from the place of tuma, and you will find him if you seek him. Okay? Sham represents the place of evil. What's the positive thing of this pasuk? It's very interesting. This refers to a Baal Tshuva, that the Aveda becomes a mitzvah. What's going to be? V'smakartem Sham la'ivecha, meaning, over there in Sham, you're going to sell yourselves to the enemy, meaning you're going to sin, but you're going to end up being la'avodim v'lishvachis, you're going to end up being like the servants of Hashem, that you're not going to acquire the enemy will not acquire you, meaning the Yetzirah will not conquer you because you're going to do tshuva and transform the evil to kedusha. So this is the positive aspect of this pasuk. Refers to a person who sins, which is the cause of all these curses. But the Torah concludes the curses by saying, what's going to happen eventually is, you're going to do tshuva, and all the evil that you did, all the aveiros, as the Gemara says, when you do a great level of tshuva, me'ahava, out of love, which is a tremendously great level of tshuva, not your everyday tshuva, the aveda becomes a mitzvah. In other words, what it means is this. The Gemara says...
I thought you meant when like, you do it so many times, it becomes a mitzvah.
No. That's what we think.
Oh, gosh. That's what happened.
No, it means like this. The Gemara says... The Gemara speaks about different levels of tshuva. There's tshuva me'yira, there's tshuva me'yahava, different levels of tshuva. So Gemara in Yuma says, there's one level of tshuva that the intentional sins, Hashem considers like accidental sins. You know, it's not as harsh. Okay, you regret it, so Hashem says, okay, you know what, I'm not going to count it as intentional rebellion. I'll consider it accidental. There's another level of tshuva that wipes out the aveda, gets rid of it. The ultimate level of tshuva, the Gemara says, not tshuva meyira. Tshuva meyira gets rid of the sin. Tshuva me'ahava, it says, the dainis nasa lekezachis. The avedis becomes mitzvahs. That level of tshuva, the aveda becomes mitzvahs. That is the what?
Very hard.
It's a very lofty level of tshuva. It's not a normal, what's called a normal Baal tshuva level.
No.
Because the aveda actually becomes a mitzvah. Zedainis, zodain, nasa kezachis become mitzvahs. That means, not only did you wipe the slate clean, it's even more than that. The aveda that you did becomes a mitzvah.
Does Hashem ever help a person reach that level of tshuva?
Yeah, Rabbi Elizabeth and I reached it.
But Hashem didn't help him.
He came to that realization on his own. But that's why Hashem said, a voice came out from heaven and said, Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya is people ready to go to Olam Haba. Because that level of tshuva transformed all the Avedis into mitzvah. It's a lofty level of tshuva. Normal tshuva, which we normally talk about is, that you erase the mitzvah. I mean, the aveda. You erase the aveda. It's not there anymore. We learned already in the past that says, David HaMelech says in Tillim, Chatasi negdi samid. My sin is always opposite me. Yeah, we say in Kirishma Lamita, Chatasi negdi samid. My sin is always opposite me. That means, just learning the pasuk simply, it means, there's an entity of a sin, there's a metzias of a sin, and it's always opposite me. So we see even the pasuk, there is an entity, an existence, a metzias of an aveda. So it's explained, some chassidic explains what happens. When a person sins, there's two parts to the sin. Let's see, somebody, God forbid, eats treif. Yeah? So there's the action of the sin, the eating. There's the enjoyment of the sin. If you didn't enjoy it, you wouldn't eat it. Right? Why does a person sin? Because they enjoy doing it. Whether it's thought, speech, lashon hara. But why do you speak? Because it's juicy, it's good, you know, you enjoy it. I want to do something wrong because you enjoy it. Which means like this. The action of the sin that you did creates the body of the sin. The action creates a body. The enjoyment of the sin creates the neshama of the sin. The enjoyment, the spirit, the feeling, right? So now when a person does an aveda, they create actually something called chatasi. There's an entity of a sin that has a neshama and a guf, a body and a soul of the sin. So what's tshuva? Basically, on the fundamental level, is getting rid of it. getting rid of the sin, right? So therefore, what does it say in Halacha, two parts of tshuva? Aziva sachet, regret, and then vidui, confession. Why do you need two parts of tshuva? Why isn't regret enough? I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it again. You know, why do I have to confess? It says, Vizvadus chatosim eshrosu, right? Alchet, vidui. God brought a carbon, a sin offering. One second, they had to bring up, they had to do vidui. The mitzvah of tshuva is mitzvah vidui dvarim, plus regret. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains very simply, because you have to undo the sin. So how do you undo the soul of the sin? By feeling bad what you did. That kills the soul of the sin. Vidui, the Gemara says, Akim esvosov hava ma'asa. Verbal articulation is an action. So by saying, Goshamno, Bagadno, I sinned, or whatever it is, that kills the body of the sin. Yeah, so that's why a normal tshuva kills the sin. Right? If you confess. I mean, we're talking you mean it.
You have to
you regret.
Also, no.
What?
You have to admit it, no?
To whom?
To yourself, to your Hashem.
That's vidui. That's vidui, confession. But not a shamnu, yeah, I'm not going to keep doing it. What does a shamnu mean? I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. So that destroys the mitzias of the sin. Right? But there's a lot of different level. There's a level that the Aveda actually becomes a mitzvah. How could the Aveda become a mitzvah? An Aveda is an Aveda. How can the Gemara say, I'll just punch it with Gashmis. How could physically a sin become a mitzvah? So the explanation Chassidus explains is very simple. What does mitzvah mean? Doesn't mean commandment. It means, like the Zohar says, safsa v'chibur, binding connection. Mitzvah connects the Jew with Hashem. What happens when somebody does an Aveda? They become very far from Hashem. Right? What's the concept of tshuva? I feel far from Hashem. I want to be close to Hashem. Right? David HaMelech says in Tzilim, Tzom alocha nafshi, kom alocha besari. My soul is thirsty for you. My soul is longing for you. Where? Be'eretz tzia v'ayev bulimoyim, in a dry desolate land without water. Right? So when you're thirsty to something, that is the thirst connects you to it. When a person sins, and because of the sin, they feel so far away from Hashem, that now this wants to make them closer to Hashem, because of the distance, so that's the meaning, the sin becomes a mitzvah. The fact that you were far away from Hashem, that brings you closer to Hashem. And that level of tshuva d'aveda becomes a mitzvah. And this is what this pasuk is saying. The last pasuk of the curses, by the way, is Hashem's going to put you back into Mitzrayim, and Vabat, you're going to sell your enemy. You're going to be sold to your enemy. Want to be sold to your enemy? You're going to want to be sold to the Yetzer Hara? But Venkate, it's not going to be happening. You're going to do tshuva, and then you're going to reach a very lofty level. So the end of the curses, Hashem is saying the bottom line of it all is, you're going to do tshuva, and everything's going to be fine. What?
Right, in the Tochacha and Vayikra,
right,
Hashem actually says, though, I'm going to return, you're going to return to me and everything. And Kitavo, he doesn't say that explicitly.
You mean, yeah, but he says even more, and Atam Nitzavim Ayyim Kolchem.
Oh, and that's how you said it.
We're going to see when we get there, not today, obviously, but when we get there, we'll see Atam Nitzavim is the rebuttal of the Teichecha from Hashem himself. Okay, so Parshat Tzemach Tes. Eile Divrei Abris, these are the words of the covenant, Asher Tziva Hashem es Meisha, that Hashem told Meisha, Lecheis es Bnei Yisrael Be'eretz Moav, to make the covenant with the Jews when they came into Moav, Milvad Abris in addition to the covenant that he made with them, Bechirev and Har Sinai. In the meaning like this, Hashem is telling the Jews, this is the covenant I made with you. Okay, I'm making a deal. You behave, you get it great. You don't behave, you don't get it. You don't get it great at all. But it's interesting, Hashem is teaching us a lesson in chinuch. Okay, in educating children, the proper education of children is not punishing the children for wrongdoings, it's consequences. In other words, children, and this is the proper way of educating children, it's not punishment for a crime you did. Because then punishment is, I'm punishing you. Right? That's what punishment means. I'm punishing you. Consequences meaning, when you do it, you are causing yourself to get punished. I'm not doing it. In other words, no, it's a very, in the world of chinuch, this is very, very important. According to Torah, even Gehenna, it's not a damnation, it's not a punishment. It's a consequence. Because you got dirty, you're going to have to clean yourself. In other words, like this, to give a simple example on a children's level. Kids play with toys, yeah, and they don't put away the toys. Okay? There's two ways a parent can deal with it, or a teacher can deal with it. One way is, okay, you don't put back your toys, I'm punishing you. I'm going to take them away, and you're not having the toys anymore. Yeah? Then, who's the meanie?
The mother.
Interesting. I didn't say mother, I said parent.
Usually the father, they don't get involved. Believe me.
You know why? The fathers make a bigger mess than the kids do. Okay. But that's not the way to do it. Because then the kid thinks you're the meanie. Right? But if the kid is told like this, your actions, yeah, it's become on their age level of the even the wording, there's a consequence to your action. Meaning, when you don't put away your toys, you will not be able to play with them again because you are forcing me to put away the toys. So it's not the parent anymore. It's the kid's consequences for the action they did. This is the covenant Hashem is making with the Jews. Hashem says, it's nothing to do with me. This reward and punishment has nothing to do with me. The Pazayim Shemaya Tishma, if you listen to what the Pazayim said before, then you are causing for Hashem to reward you. If you don't behave, you don't listen to Hashem. So you are causing that you're going to get all these punishments. Nothing to do with Hashem. Hashem is not making it or breaking it. In other words, the difference between a punishment and a consequence.
It's interesting because it's kind of
you
like
don't do a test. It's not that the teacher is giving you a zero. You are giving yourself a zero on the test because you didn't take the test. It's not, by the way, it's not a play on words. It's a whole different concept in chinuch. The parent is not rewarding or punishing the kid. The kid has to understand they are rewarding themselves or they are punishing themselves. It's not the teacher or the parent. It's a consequence for what you did. It's not revenge. It's not punishment. It's a consequence. You don't do it. This is what happens. You don't go to work. You're not going to get paid. So it's not the boss's fault that he's not getting paid. You don't go to work. It's your fault that the boss is not going to pay you. The boss is not the bad guy. You're doing it to yourself. And that's why it says over here, Eile divrei habris, that Hashem commanded Moshe to make Milvad besides the bris of Har Sinai, when there was only a covenant of each one for themselves, this covenant, like we learned, Kol Yisrael Reivim Zabazadro, responsible one for another, and, you know, all that stuff. Okay. Vayikra Meisha, Meisha Rabbeinu called. Some of Farshim say, by the way, one more just point over here. Like you said in Vayikra, Hashem says, you know, the end of the curses, it says Hashem is going to remember the covenant with Avram and Yitzchak, and I'm going to make it good for you, even though you don't deserve it. Here the Torah doesn't say it. So they say, why? So they say, because this whole parsha is not curses. They're all nechama klalius. And therefore, if the Torah would end with something positive, then somebody would interpret it to mean all the curses are bad. And the Torah ends with something good. By not ending with something good, the Torah is saying all of these are good. The consequences to cleanse the Jew from their impurity that they brought upon themselves. So, you know, that's it. Okay. Vayikra Meisha call Yisrael, Meisha Rabbeinu called all the Yidden. Vayomer aleihem, and he said to them, okay? Now, it says that Meisha Rabbeinu, the Mefarshim explained like this. Why does it say here, Vayikra Meisha call Yisrael? Because when Hashem gave the Torah to Meisha Rabbeinu, what does the Pasuk say at the beginning of Vayikra? Vayikra al Meisha. Or even by Matan Torah, it says Hashem called Meisha Rabbeinu to go up to the house, to the mountain. So just like Meisha Rabbeinu said, just like Hashem, when he gave the Torah to the Jews, called me, I'm calling to the Jews, that they should listen. And he said to them, Atem re'isem, you yourself saw. Okay, not somebody else. By the way, there's an interesting thing in the Chinuch, who is one of the Rishonim that counts the mitzvahs and explains them. The Chinuch writes, there's a lot of logical proofs about Matan Torah besides the Amunah that God gave the Torah, right? The Chinuch writes, and there's a very interesting thing. All the other religions, like Muslims even, yeah? Muhammad came and said, this is what God told me. Right? Yoshka came and said, this is what God told him. By Matan Torah, all the Jews were there. It wasn't one guy saying, this is what happened. By Matan Torah, every single Jew, all the Jews were present at Matan Torah. So therefore, when the religion was carried down, historical event, that itself proves that it happened. Just say George Washington existed. Nobody in this room saw George Washington. They definitely didn't see his cherry tree or his white horse. No, so why do we believe, if somebody asks you, was there a guy George Washington? You're going to say yes. The question, did you see him? No. So how do you know he existed? What's the answer? It's a historical fact. How do we know it's a historical fact? Because at the time it was written down, transmitted to generation to generation to generation. Now, by Matan Torah, and the Meisher Ben is saying, Atem Ni'isem, you saw yourself all the miracles Hashem did, and this is handed down generation to generation. And what's interesting, Jews all around the world are saying the same story of what happened. So in the laws of world, a historical event is emes.
So, since what? The Muhammad or the Yashka said, I saw the God, we don't believe this and we don't.
It's not to do what we believe. We're Jews.
So we don't.
I'm just saying that he writes, the Chinuch writes, the Matan Torah, every Jew was present. So it's a historical event which was witnessed by millions. And I'm not talking about the neshamas of future generations. I'm talking about the physical people that were there. So over 2 million people present in Matan Torah. If you count the men, women, and children, young, old, everybody in between, there's over 2 million people at Matan Torah.
You know, they were saying, this kind of a, they're saying at the Cubs championship celebration.
No.
It was one of the like, seventh largest gatherings ever. And I was thinking, they don't know about Matan Torah.
No, okay, but... Trump can thank the Cubs for winning the World Series. Because if the Cubs could win the World Series, Trump could become president. Okay, Atam Nisim, let's just finish this pasuk. When Hashem did to your own eyes. In other words, like the pasuk says, it wasn't somebody else's eyes. We saw it yourself. And his servants and all the other people there. Okay? So Hashem said, this is, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, okay, we have to stop here, because it goes into Masses HaGadol, as Mepharshim explained, Moshe is speaking to different types of, different people, saw different miracles. Some people were still, now at this time, Moshe Rabbeinu, the kids under 20, because between 20 and 60, they all died in the Midbar, this is the new generation, after everybody died, right? So there are certain people. So who was in Egypt from this generation? The kids that were under 20. Right? So they saw what happened in Mitzrayim. Other people didn't see what happened in Mitzrayim. Some people saw the miracles in the desert. Some people didn't see the miracles. So he's speaking to all the various affiliated Jews of what they saw. We continue. Yeah.